Is it possible to fall in love with a computer? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It sure is.
Hello, and welcome to GoCast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he's been known to drink upwards of 200 cups of tea in just a single day. Leander Caney is here. Also joining us, he's the star of our 2016 Sexy Men of Culta Mac swimsuit calendar. Buster Hein is here.
Hey, man.
This calendar is going to sell so well, Buster.
I've been working on my flab, too. Getting extra flabby for it.
You're getting extra flabby for it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So the top is flabby, but the bottom is just rock solid. Like, those glutes are just amazing.
Oh, you know it.
So we'll have more information on the Sexy Men of Culta Mac calendar 2016 upcoming. It's just every month is a new scantily clad picture of Buster, most likely oiled down in baby oil, in a different swimsuit for your enjoyment. Helps you keep track of the days in your year. Makes the holidays a little bit more fun. Keep your eyes open for that. I gotta fly down to Arizona and take those pictures, Buster.
Yeah, hurry up.
Pull them off his Instagram feed. I mean, they're all up there on his Instagram.
Yeah, it's true. Most of those are like scenery pictures, though. Yeah.
I keep the naughty pics for myself.
That's right. I have some of them too. Welcome to the Cultcast, everyone. The Cultcast is a show full of nonsense, as you've probably likely surmised. But also, we do cover each week's best Apple stories. So we've got some good, some tasty ones this week. We're going to be talking about, of course, the iPhone 6S has been out for, what, all of 3 weeks now? It's old hat now. We're going to talk about the iPhone 7. We got some iPhone 7 news to talk about. We're also going to be talking about why you should absolutely not ever, under no circumstances, accidentally drop your Apple TV remote. And this actually has me a little worried. Leander, I want to get your take on it. And if you stick around till the end, we are going to be doing an all-new Faves and Raves, where we discuss our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. Leander has nothing picked, but by the end of the show, he's going to have something amazing picked out. Right, Leander?
Oh, yeah. It's going to blow you away.
It's going to blow us all away. Before we hop into it, I want to say thanks to Canary for supporting this episode. This is a cool product, guys. Canary is a complete home security system in a single device that you place in a room in your home. And it's always watching. It's like Leander. It's always watching, always judging. And when Canary detects something out of the ordinary, it will send an intelligent notification with HD video straight to your iPhone. And it puts you in control during an emergency. Through the Canary app, you can watch live footage of what's going on in your house. It will sound off a crazy loud siren or connect with police near your home. All this in one single device that's very discreet and actually quite beautiful. It's $199 at meetcanary.com. And if you use the promo code CULTCAST, you'll get free overnight shipping. Go check out meetcanary.com. See all the stuff that Canary does. It does a ton of very cool stuff. And if you're a renter, you definitely should be interested in securing your home with one of these, because you can take it with you wherever you go. Also want to thank Linda for supporting this episode. Oh my gosh. I just got to take a minute to appreciate how much I love Linda. Linda.com, LYNDA.com/cultcast. If you were trying to learn any application, you need to check out Linda. They have over 3,000 video courses for you to choose from. But there are a plethora of other topics that you can learn. For instance, if you are trying to write songs, they have music theory for songwriters, the fundamentals. Maybe you're trying to create music in GarageBand. You could do GarageBand Essential Training with Garrick Chow. Maybe you are trying to get into business somehow, making money on eBay. They have courses about that. Or, and Leander, I think you kind of do this, don't you? You can learn how to make money with Airbnb. So how to rent out your place on Airbnb.
Yeah, we do Airbnb. Yeah. And we definitely need to learn how to make money on it.
Yeah, I think you do it for free right now, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, you can actually make money doing that.
It's more like a homeless shelter, yeah.
In fact, I have a friend who actually does this and makes decent money. He actually bought a condo in Las Vegas just to rent out to make money on Airbnb. Yeah, it's a crazy business. I met a guy who does this in New York.
That's a town that has a real shortage of hotel rooms, isn't it?
So. Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, during peak seasons when the annual
Well, people are doing it here, and of course, it was a big controversy, you know, about.
Well, didn't you guys just have a big vote thing on Airbnb stuff in San Francisco this week?
Yeah, yeah. Proposition F. Pass. Yeah. I think I'll vote it down. Yeah.
So people were going to be potentially not allowed to rent their places on Airbnb?
It was going to be severely restricted, yeah.
Oh, I don't even know how they would do that. It's your own place. You own the place. How are they going to tell you how to use it?
In any case, you've got people... Well, anyway, yeah.
No, go ahead. What? No, well, I want to hear this.
Well, I don't know if we want to get a discussion about it, but you had people, you know, here who were buying up apartments and buildings and evicting everybody and turning them into Airbnb hotels.
That sounds like a great course. How to buy a building, evict everyone, and make money on Airbnb. Taught by Leander Caney.
Right.
Right. Scumlord of San Francisco. Hey, get out. I own your building now. Get out.
Yeah. On lynda.com.
That is not a course on lynda.com. They would never host such a disgusting course, Leander. Their courses are legitimate, taught by actual professionals. Check it out, lynda.com/cultcast. You can get a free 10-day trial. Learn all you want for free, any of the courses I just mentioned. You could go through all of them in 10 days if you wanted to and never pay a single dollar. But I think you'll stick around because it's only $25 a month, which is a huge value for all the different courses they offer. Free trial, 10-day free trial, lynda.com/cultcast. Let's start with this Apple TV remote story, guys. Did you guys see the pictures going around of people who've accidentally dropped their Apple TV remotes?
Yeah, I've seen a few that are shattered.
Totally shattered.
It's more fragile than, you know, than an iPhone. It's super fragile.
I think it's super fragile. And from the stories I was reading, the people didn't even drop their controllers from more than like a foot or two off the ground. And what worries me is, what is the most dropped item in almost any household? In mine, number one is LSD. Number two are the controllers around my couch. Because they, you know, you're sitting on the couch, you're using a controller, and you don't know where it went. You stand up, it was in your lap, falls on the ground, or just falls off your couch. I probably drop my remotes, you know, two or three times a week.
Huh. Mine usually flies up in the air when I sit on the couch.
You mean when you sit on one side and it's on the other?
Yeah, right.
But yours hits the ceiling, right?
Yeah. And then I can usually catch it.
Because you're big, but you're nimble. That's a skill set that you have. So this actually has me a little concerned. I went searching on Apple's website frantically to see if I could still buy the Apple Care Plus plan. But the bad news is there is no Apple Care Plus plan to actually purchase. You can only buy the regular Apple Care plan. And so I'm actually considering, this is going to sound so stupid, I can't believe I'm saying this, I'm actually considering buying like a bumper case or something for my remote.
Yeah, that is so stupid. I can't believe it.
But the remotes are $79 if you need to replace them.
They've been sending free ones to people, right?
Apple?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
Well, in that the one Reddit post, the guy said that he contacted Apple and they sent him a free replacement.
Okay. That's very cool of Apple. But imagine if you break your remote, I don't know, 8 months after buying it. Yeah. I kind of doubt Apple's going to send you a free remote at that point.
Right. I'm sure they did that as, you know, it's a new product.
Yeah, it's a brand new product. It's like when you go to the ice cream store. Do they call them that? The ice cream store. And you're about to chow down on your big cone that you just bought, and then the scoop falls out into the ground.
Yeah,
like if you go back in and you whine, they'll give you another scoop.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you come back 2 weeks later and tell them your scoop dropped, I don't think they're going to have the same scoop. I dropped my scoop.
Good analogy.
Yeah, thank you. So this genuinely has me concerned because the remote is quite beautiful, but the touchpad is glass. And that's the part that people seem to be breaking if the remote falls in the wrong way. And then also the bottom side, also beautiful, but it's made of aluminium.
Aluminium?
The way Leander likes to say it. I want to make sure I say it that way. And so that thing could get dinged. So even though I'm kind of slightly regretting that it's not more plasticky, I can't believe I'm saying that. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's
Johnny
true.
Johnny Ive is spitting in his grave.
Johnny Ive just spit his tea out into the air into a fine mist. I don't want to beat a dead horse here, Leander, but we didn't get to talk with you about the Apple TV when you were out of NDA, even though you said a lot when we asked you last time. How's the experience been? I mean, I've owned mine for a week now, or give or take, and you've had yours for what, like a month and a half now. Is there anything else you care to say about it? before we
move
on?
Well, I didn't have the final software, and there's been a lot of discussion, you know, like on the site, in the comments on that review I did on the developer unit.
Right.
The new software is supposed to be a lot better, and Siri is supposed to be a lot better. So I downloaded the regular software onto it, mm-hmm. and downloaded a bunch of apps. And I mean, to be honest, I've only played around with it a little bit. And in fact, mostly with one particular app, which I'm going to use for my fave and rave later on. But I haven't really, you know.
Oh, no, I hope we don't have the same one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll see. That means we automatically win, right? Yeah, we both already chosen it.
Well, I haven't really played around with Siri, but that, you know, I saw some the stuff I've been seeing. People have been saying on Twitter and stuff. You know, they're having problems too. So
yeah, Siri just isn't integrated into a lot of different apps. Like Plex just released their app, and somebody on Twitter was asking me, "Can you search for TV shows and movies via Plex?" No, you can't do it via Plex. I'm not even sure you can do it via most apps. I think only Netflix works. Of course, things on iTunes work. And possibly Hulu, I'm not sure, but that integration is not there for most apps. So when you ask Siri to find you a movie with a specific actor and that app isn't supported, Siri won't know how to do that. It is super handy though for if you are watching something and you are multitasking, as I often do, and not paying attention, you're like, oh, I want to go back 30 seconds. You can just ask Siri to go back 30 seconds or 45 seconds. That is super handy. Do you find that the controller is somewhat confusing, Leander? Like, I'm finding that I'm seeking out, like, how-tos just to figure out, like, what the controller shortcuts are.
Controller? The remote shortcuts?
Yeah. There's a bunch of them.
Well, that's a funny... You know, like, I think if you... you know, if you don't know what it does, it's pretty easy to use.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of hidden complexity in there, you know, and it's pretty amazing how much stuff you can do with it, you know, when you hold down combinations of buttons.
Right, and, yeah.
I've heard some other people complain that it's like too symmetrical. Like if you're using it in the dark and you don't know which side is the touchpad, it's easy to confuse the other side that's not a touchpad for the touchpad side.
I agree with that. It's also this is such a first world complaint. I even hate making it, but the controller is so smooth and slick that it's hard to pick up off flat surfaces. So there's like nowhere to grip it. And it's very thin, so I find sometimes that I have a hard time getting my nimble little fingers to actually pick it up off a flat surface. Leander, I know that's definitely got to be a problem.
Well, for you, I got big sausage fingers,
right? Do you have to have one of your kids come get the controller and hand it to you?
Yeah, well, I've had it at the office here, and I'm just trying to pick it up now off the table. You know, to be honest, not really that hard.
No?
Okay. But it is kind of light, and I definitely did what Buster was saying. Like, I've had it upside down. I was like playing with it. I'm like, why isn't this thing working?
Yeah, and I wish it was backlit too.
Right.
My Xbox controller is backlit, and that thing was $25. So
yeah, that. A bit of backlit action would be good.
But overall, I would say best streamer I've ever used. There are more complaints I could go into, but overall, the UI gorgeous. It's so slick and so polished. I'm really enjoying using it so far. Are you having the same experience?
Yeah, I do like it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to play with.
Buster, you don't have yours yet, do you?
Yeah, I don't have one of those fancy Apple TVs.
You were thinking about getting one.
I was, but I think now I'm just going to go and get a PlayStation 4 and play Star Wars Battlefield.
You're going to do it on PlayStation?
It's so much better than Xbox. I'm sorry,
dude,
man.
Dude, that's not true. That's not true. You should get an Xbox.
The graphics are better. The graphics are better.
The graphics are better. I'll give you that. But that's the only thing that's better. Graphics. Come on, man. Who cares about graphics? Who cares about good graphics? I think you should get an Xbox One. Don't most of your friends have Xbox Ones?
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're going to play online, then there's no way to play with them. That's where they get you, man. That's where they get you. Because like, then you buy a PlayStation, and if you want to play online, you have to buy their monthly... what does PlayStation call their Xbox Live service?
I don't know. It's PlayStation Network or something.
But then you have to pay for that just as you would with your Xbox. Then you will probably end up not being able to play with your friends.
Yeah. Well, it seems how we're talking game consoles. Have either of you guys played any games on the new Apple TV?
Well, I don't want to give it away, but that was going to be my favorite rave pick.
Okay, well, don't give it away yet. Don't give it away yet. Good. That means that we don't have the
same
thing. Are
they good, though, like the games? Because I just imagine them being very, very basic.
It's a mixed bag, to be honest. Yeah, you know, like, okay. It's a game I bought on the iPad initially and was playing on the iPad, and it uses, it's obviously uses the same mechanism, you know, to track your finger where you're going to touch. So you're kind of moving your thumb around on the controller to move the cursor on the screen. And I got a really bad cramp in my thumb.
Oh, really? That was not what I was expecting you to say. Jeez.
Just been playing for a few, you know, for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes.
You need to get one of those hand things, like those spring things, and work it out a little bit, Leander.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah, those things you squeeze, the squeezy spring things.
Yeah, yeah. They use in movies to, like, do a montage, start a montage off.
It's, you know, like on the iPad, the gameplay is great. You know, it's really easy to... It's not a, you know, fast twitch game or anything like that. You just tap things. But, you know, you have to tap all over the screen. And, like, moving around a sort of 40-inch TV...
Yeah.
You know, was actually not as easy as... The experience wasn't as good as it is on the iPad.
You know what is the worst on the Apple TV? Now, since we're still talking about it, this just came to my mind. Entering in anything with text, I don't know how Apple didn't make this better than other devices. This is the same problem I have with virtually every other device. If you have to enter in an email address or password as you do when you sign into apps.
But doesn't, like, the iOS remote app work on the new Apple TV?
No. So the remote app on iPhone is not supported.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure it will be eventually, but it's not right now. So you have to use... No, it's not.
Ton of complaints about that.
So you have to use the actual provided remotes.
Especially because you got to go through and you got to sign into Netflix and, you know, iTunes and every other app you ever
Thank God they give you a way to bypass having to enter your username and password when you're buying apps. Can you imagine every time, like, you have to buy an app, they make you enter your email and password again? I would throw the device out the window.
Right.
There's no way I would do it. It takes forever to enter your username and password. I don't know how Apple overlooked this. Maybe they were thinking that... Well, the remote app on the iPhone is eventually going to be supported, and so you'll be able to type stuff in. Because I hate to bring it back to Xbox again, but they've been dealing with some of these same problems. And on the Xbox, you can have the Xbox app paired to your Xbox, and when you are in a screen that has text, it automatically turns into a keyboard, and you can just type it out right there. I think that's what Apple needs to do as well, just to kind of alleviate that terrible user experience. Ah! Ah!
Yeah,
Johnny Ive must hate that. He must hate it. It's probably his least favorite part of the Apple TV. Okay, enough about the Apple TV. I know we talked about it 3 weeks in a row, and we'll probably make it four next week. Let's move on to the new iPhone rumors. I can't believe here we are talking about iPhone 7. But we actually got some rumors that normally we wouldn't even cover these because they wouldn't even be credible this early on. But these came from noted Apple analyst, KGI security analyst, Ming-Chi Kuo. Buster, did you hear about what Mr. Kuo said about iPhone 7?
Oh, I heard what he said about a 4-inch iPhone 6S.
Oh, right, right. We were going to talk about that, too. So what's the scoop on that?
Just that Apple's going to release a 4-inch iPhone 6S at the beginning of next year.
You mean...
I don't buy it, though.
You mean... Wait, you don't mean an actual 6S in a 4-inch form factor, do you? I think it's going to be like probably going to be a 5S or like a 6.
No, it'd be the same guts as like the 6 and be like the 6C, I'm guessing.
That would be weird though if they did that because they're still selling the 6 and the 6 Plus.
Yeah, but when they released the 5C, it had the iPhone 5 guts inside it. Mm-hmm. So, and when they released it alongside I can't even remember now.
I think it was
to have 4S guts in it.
No, I think it was
the
iPhone 5 guts.
Years. Yeah.
So I think they're going to have to do this with the 5S then in order to not cannibalize their iPhone 6 sales. Because they never made a low-cost 5S, you know, version.
Yeah, I think you're reaching way too far back there. I mean, the 6 is already over a year old. It would still help for, like, those sales and for people that want, like, a smaller phone, which I do think is probably a lot of people. I could go smaller. I could downgrade from this.
No. This is the perfect size.
It is. No, it's a nice size, but I would consider it actually if it had decent internals.
Any regrets? I know you and I both downgraded in size.
Oh, dude, my wife got a 6S Plus.
Yeah.
And every time I pick up her phone, I'm like, oh my gosh, this
surfboard
thing is huge.
Yeah.
And I kind of want it.
No, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. I got the 6S Plus too.
She's all, you're so jealous. I'm like, I am, because everything looks bigger and better on that thing.
I have not had a moment of regret since moving to the 6S. It's the best iPhone I've ever owned, hands down. And I love the size. Sometimes I guess you could say I do have plus envy, but not very often. I mean, I picked up a 6 Plus recently and I was like, I heard that surfboard music come on. I wanted to get on that thing and ride because it's just so ginormous. And I always, as soon as I look at it, I get those like those ghost pains that you feel sometimes, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Down under. And you're just like, ooh.
Mine used to be this big. Now it's so small.
Well, I meant more like this thing used to be in my pocket.
Oh, and it used to pinch you.
Boxing the old Nards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still remember that. I'm like, nope. It reminds me. I don't want to go back. So if you are waiting for a lower cost iPhone, you may actually have an alternative in the future. A la the, I don't know what they're going to end up calling this thing. It's going to be like the 6C. Mm-hmm. That seems like it would be a good name for it. And then iPhone 7. So Ming-Chi Kuo said A10 processor, to which I replied, right. Yeah. I think we all knew about that one. And then he also said that Apple might try to differentiate the iPhone 7 Plus from the iPhone 7 by adding more RAM to the iPhone 7 Plus.
This is what I don't get, is he says that Apple would add 3 gigabytes of RAM to the 7 Plus, while the 7 would have 2 gigabytes. But I thought maybe this is just with computers. I didn't take computer science in college, but I thought you always had to have an even number for RAM.
Oh, no. No, it could be any amount they wanted. Yeah. Yeah. So they could put 3 in, and this kind of makes sense to me, because Apple's constantly try to differentiate the Plus as... I hate that they do this. I wish they would just make them the same, but Apple makes the Plus better. So they give you the optical image stabilization, and now they would add this as well, potentially, which would allow you to have more apps loaded without having to have them reload in the background. And then also, from what I understand, having more RAM means more battery power is used, because more stuff is stored in that RAM.
Less, yeah.
So... I'm sorry. Did I say more?
Yeah. Yes. Said,
okay.
But it can't be that significant.
Yeah, it would be less.
Solid state memory anyway, right?
And right.
Yeah.
It's another, you know, just a slightly different type of RAM.
I had some guy on Twitter, or maybe he emailed me. It was one of our listeners, and I wish I remember who it was. And he was telling me that even though it's solid state, it requires voltage to power it. So it does end up using more battery life. But I was going to say the iPhone 7 Plus would have a larger battery, so you may not even notice. So maybe this is why they would do this on the 7 Plus and on the 7 regular.
I can't believe that's the only differentiating factor, though, 3 gigabytes of RAM. I mean, you know, Apple has never, ever talked about the internals.
And,
you know,
I don't believe it at all.
Oh, so you think this is totally false?
Yeah, I mean,
it might be the case, but they're not going to use it as a differentiating selling
point. Yeah, right. They don't use, like, the optical image stabilization as a selling point for the 6 Plus.
Right. They don't really tout there's a lot of differences between the two, do they?
Yeah, battery life either. They only basically just say the screen. That's the only difference, you know?
Interesting. But they do add those better features. It's strange they don't mention it. I feel like maybe they don't mention it outright, but they know people know that kind of stuff. That information gets disseminated by guys like us who are like, oh, man, the Plus has 3 gigs of RAM and the regular only has 2. Like, 2 sucks.
Right, but the vast majority of people, I believe... Don't know and don't care.
They don't even know what a gigabyte is.
And I don't think they do it. You know, the optical image stabilization has got to be because they can't fit that particular camera unit into the smaller form factor of the 6.
Yeah.
But not because they're trying to differentiate it, because they don't actually talk about it, you know, so...
That's a good point. I would love to see them come to parity and be the exact same, just one has a bigger screen than the other.
Well, right. I'm sure they do that as well. You know, I'm sure they endeavor to do that as well. But there's got to be the realities of, you know, like the size and the power draw and whatever other factors there are that limit the choices. But I mean, it makes it cheaper for a start. I mean, you know, if they have one, you know, if they only have to have one component, you know, that is standard across all the devices, I mean, it would definitely make it cheaper. So,
what else could they possibly do on the 7 to make it? I mean, it has to be a new form factor. It has to look drastically different. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else could they possibly do to make it drastically different than what we have now?
Take away the home button.
Yeah, right.
That's going to be what they have to do eventually. Yeah. But I was just reading.
That's what they're getting ready for, that, isn't it?
Yeah,
it certainly seems like it. Yeah.
Is moving in that direction. Yeah, that's got to be the big thing, I'll bet.
That's going to be huge, too, because you'll have a phone that has the same screen size, but it will be significantly smaller and significantly lighter.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it has a bigger screen size. But it's like, I like the, I don't know, 6+. But if it was all screen, that would be amazing.
I mean, if it were all screen, that would be amazing. But they don't need to make it bigger. Your 6+ isn't big enough for you. What's wrong with you?
It doesn't even feel that big anymore. It feels normal. And other smaller phones just feel like toy phones.
Yeah. You just don't feel like nearly as much of a man when you hold those puny phones. That's like my television is 50 inches. And when I tell people I want to get a bigger one, they scoff at me. They're like, why would you need a TV that's bigger than 50? Because you get used to it. And 50, you just, it's like drugs. It's like once they get you hooked, it's never enough. You always need more and more and more, right? I need to go to 65. And I want a 4K television, and I don't feel like they're quite there yet. So I'm either going to buy one. I might actually buy one this year. We'll see what Black Friday brings. But I think by next year, definitely. But 65 inches, I mean, who needs a 65-inch television? No one.
I couldn't even get that in the door of my house.
You'd have to sit outside to watch it. And honestly, I think that'd be worth it.
In the rain, covered in a blanket. Yeah.
I mean, don't be ridiculous. You'd have to put a tent above it and, you know, put a propane heater in there. But imagine this, Leander. You'd have peace and quiet. There wouldn't be four kids running
around. Right, no screaming kids. Yeah,
yeah, right.
I'm sold.
A 4K, 65-inch television in the backyard under a tent. I mean, in the quietness, that's what you need.
I mentioned it to Tracy. Oh, my goodness. You should have heard the reaction. I'm going to need more than, you know, three weeks till Thanksgiving to, you know.
Yeah, it's going to take you until next Thanksgiving to convince her why it's so necessary.
Yeah.
Before we continue, I wanted to mention this real fast and get your take on this, Leander. Did you hear about this measure that the UK is potentially going to pass? I'm not sure if they did pass this or if it's just potentially going into place, where they would not allow companies to offer end-to-end encryption in their devices. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. I think it's been proposed at the House of Parliament or something like that.
Okay. Did you hear about
similar debate here too, isn't it? I mean, it's, you know, this is military grade encryption technology that they're afraid of exporting to, you know, the axis of evil. So there's this, you know, there's a big dichotomy between the, you know, Silicon Valley, Tim Cook, and his privacy, you know, Apple's strong commitment to privacy and national security concerns.
So if this bill passed in the UK, this would be a huge deal for Apple, because it would mean that they would either not be able to offer iPhones, iPads in the UK, or they'd have to significantly alter their technology to meet the requirements of the bill, which means they would have to build in a back door so that they could access your device if asked to by law enforcement. And this got me thinking. So, you know, devices like iPhone, for people that don't know, they're totally encrypted. Like, Apple can't even get in to your device if they wanted to. There's no way for them to do that. You have to have either the passcode or you have to have your Touch ID set up and unlocked in order for your phone to be accessible. And this ends up causing an issue for law enforcement, who clearly want to be able to subpoena your device if they need to and unlock it. And this particularly comes into play in terrorist cases and then, of course, in like child pornography cases, because now people, especially in child pornography, can use these devices to pretty much harbor all their illegal content, and they don't have to worry about getting caught because no one can get in their device, not even Apple could. Who do you think is on the right side of this argument, Leander? Do you think there should be a backdoor for law enforcement, or do you think that at all costs Apple should protect our data and not even be able to access it?
Well, you know, it's a complicated question, isn't it? And of course, there's all these, you know, there's plenty of scenarios where you'd want the authorities or to have access. I mean, like child pornography,
right?
I think it's a good example of something that would be completely, you know, undetectable if everything is encrypted end to end. But you know, I think personal privacy is very important. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, you know, the Snowden revelations, and in fact, a lot of, you know, the spying, the real center of spying is not the NSA, but GCHQ in the UK. There was a lot of the NSA has been outsourcing a lot of spying functions to the UK. Because,
wait, so the UK is spying on us
too? Yeah, because it's all running through. It's all running. You know, I mean, all these international pipes. You know, they're all being tapped into, and so much traffic is international, is global. You know, that the real central hub has been in the UK, and Britain has always been at the forefront of spying. You know, with Alan Turing and
007.
Co-breaking. I don't know, it's these are tough questions. I personally lean towards Apple's stance, which is that everything should be protected. I mean, so much of our lives are mediated by, I mean, look at all these hacking scandals. I just had my credit card replaced twice in 2 months because hackers busted into, you know, like Home Depot's database and stole everyone's credit card numbers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this kind of stuff, I think, like the internet is now such a backbone for everything that people do, all communication, all commerce, and it wasn't built for this. It was built to be an open system. So it's got to be secured. And I don't want my communications to be open to anybody. I want some stuff to be secure. A lot of stuff to be secure.
Yeah,
I'm not a privacy nut, but I can totally understand that, you know, that people's positions on that, that this stuff is super important.
I see. I'm not really worried about my future. Stuff. Yeah, I agree. I mean, especially as we go forward and more of your stuff is stored online.
Right. And it's super important for commerce and, you know, I mean, just, you know, for the functioning of the global economy. And I don't think you can have it both ways. You can't have a back door, you know, that is only accessible to certain trusted people.
Because speak for yourself.
Right. let's not go there.
I was going to say, if they ended up making a backdoor somewhere, inevitably someone would figure out where it was and they would get into it. And for you, that would be particularly bad because they would find all of your Swiss bank account numbers where you store all of your massive hoards of Cultimat cash and potentially transfer that into their own accounts and leave you in despair and broke. And I would hate to see that happen to you. I don't really have anything to hide on my device. I mean, if you want to look at the photos of me modeling different bathing suits in the mirror, that's fine. I don't care if you see those.
It's not a matter of like having anything to hide. It's just a matter of rights. And as a citizen, I think you have the right to keep your life private from the government, you know? And so that's why I think that it's good for Apple to be kind of one of the only companies standing up and saying, no, we're not going to let you have access to everything. Because before this happened, the government didn't have access to all of your communication and everything. So some people are like, well, I don't care. And I've been one of those people, like, I have nothing to hide, and I don't. But at the same time, I, as a citizen, I shouldn't, you know, have that privacy invaded, because that's never how it's been in the first place in this, at least in America, you know.
Yeah, and for the record, I agree with you. I'm glad they're encrypted end-to-end, and it makes me feel comfortable knowing, like, my iMessages, for example, are encrypted end to end. So like when people ask me about things that I normally would never, you'd never want to type them out, like your password for something, right? Like, I don't care, because I know it's encrypted on my device and it's encrypted from my device on the way to their device and then again on their device. So it's very, very secure. And so it makes you feel good that that stuff is protected in the way that it is. It's unfortunate that this is causing issues for law enforcement, because you want to see them be able to do their job, but you don't want to make everyone exposed to the threat of getting hacked, you know, just so that they can, you know, go after like a couple of terrorists or something.
Well, I mean, I thought Snowden, or there was some revelation that, you know, the access from the Patriot Act really hasn't even stopped any terrorist threats in the first place. So there's not as much benefit for law enforcement as they claim that there will be.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And it's like Homeland Security, right, at the airports. Mm-hmm. And they're allowed to search all your stuff, and they have, you know, unfettered access to all your suitcases and stuff. I was just reading recently, like, their score for actually being able to find a weapon is super duper low. Like, and they have access. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to
stop.
Yeah, they're actually going to stop anything with it, right? It just means that they're going to be going through everyone's stuff. And it may not actually even help them. I'm sure in certain cases that's probably not true. It's probably critical. But in any case, okay. Before we move on, I want to say thank you to SoftLayer for supporting this episode. SoftLayer delivers a cloud built for guys like us, a cloud built for power. Your business, applications, and computational workloads are different from everyone else's. So SoftLayer provides cloud resources that meet your specific needs. And SoftLayer is an IBM company. In fact, IBM uses SoftLayer as its cloud infrastructure for all IBM products and services. And here's what makes SoftLayer unique. SoftLayer is one of the only cloud providers that provisions dedicated servers and virtual servers from a single seamless platform, all on demand, all connected to the same open API, all connected to a global private network, allowing you to scale your workloads up and down quickly and have ample space for your storage-intensive tasks. All of our listeners have the opportunity to get $500 of cloud infrastructure by visiting softlayer.com/podcast, where you can order bare metal servers, virtual servers, storage, networking, and security services from your choice of data center. That's with over 24 data centers all around the world. Check it out, softlayer.com/podcast. Thank you to SoftLayer for supporting this episode. Alrighty, guys, let's go ahead and wrap it up with an all new Faves and Raves and Faves and Raves and
Faves.
Oh, thank you. That's beautiful. This is the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. We haven't done this in a long time.
Dude, I got so many new apps.
Do you have a lot of apps? Cool. I have an app too. And then Leander has an app. So I guess this is going to be a special episode.
Oh, good one.
Good one. I'm patting myself on the back. Does anyone want to go first?
I'll go first.
Yes. Yes. What do you got, Buster?
This is a shout out to Alex Heath, who introduced me to this app called Operator. And it's pretty crazy. It's kind of like a messaging app, only you're messaging like an operator employee, and they help you basically find anything that you want to buy. So you open up Operator and you're like, I'm looking for 3 tickets to the Book of Mormon musical tomorrow night. And then a person on the other end messages you back and says, this is what I found. Here's the price. Or, you know, I need a new messenger bag. I'm going to be using it for the office.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of like
that's
you
like
have
a
your
personal concierge.
Right. A personal shopping assistant who just finds the shiz for you and then comes back and says, yeah, here's the best thing I found. So it's super easy way. Like, you don't even have to shop anymore.
I'm not sure how I feel about this, because if you're like, I want a new messenger bag, I mean, how do they know what your style or your taste is?
Right.
This weird furry pink thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I've already purchased it for you. It's on the way. So have you actually used it yet, Buster?
I haven't used it to buy anything myself, no.
Okay. This sounds like something that Alex E. Heath would like.
It just sounds really cool. I don't know. There's a lot of times where I've spent, like, you know, 2 hours searching for the perfect thing online or to buy something, and this takes like all that work out for you.
Yeah, but that work is so much fun. It's like when you go to TJ Maxx and you're searching for something, you're searching for that good deal, and you find it, and you're like, you hold it above your head and show it to everyone, and you shake it in the air in victory. No, you don't do that?
No, I hate shopping. I guess if you love finding the deal, then it's not for you.
Dude, yeah, this is a bad time of year for me, because all the Black Friday deals are happening, and they do Black November. So every day there's new deals, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm finding it hard to resist some of these deals because they're so good. Not affecting you, apparently.
No way.
Yeah, I'm with Buster. I don't like shopping either.
Even for gadgets, though? I mean, I'm not talking about like a new tie.
Oh, no, I don't like new TV or any type of like tech stuff. Nah, I don't get into that, to be honest. Like,
you're like, just send it to me for free. I'm Buster.
Yeah, yeah.
If I can get a review unit,
yes.
I ain't paying for that.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I first bought my first flat screen TV. Remember when they were really expensive? And
yeah.
This is a big, big, significant purchase. And I was going down to Best Buy every night, and I started to notice the same guys were there night after night. And
really?
And I'm like, hey, did I see you? Here last night. He said, yeah, yeah. And so then we all started talking, and it was like, you know, which one should you get? Should you get the Sonic or the Philips or blah blah blah? And
so these were guys there to like figure out what purchase they were going to make.
Right, and we're all
like
we're all
the internet.
We're all super into the specs, right? So it's like, yeah. Oh, this one's got, you know, like this kind of technology, and this one is this kind of resolution. And then my brother goes, and he, you know, like he shows up and he just goes. He says, "This is how much I'm going to spend," and he goes and gets the TV that he can afford, and he's at home and he's watching his new TV and he's just delighted with it. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have any doubts. Like when I got right. mine home, it was like, "Oh no,
is the refresh rate good enough?"
Yeah, it's like I can't even enjoy it. I'm sitting there fretting about the thing, and you know, and he's super happy. And I'm like, that's how you should shop for something. Just, you know, go get the first thing you see.
No, that's the worst thing that you can do. You need to agonize over it for weeks.
Just go to wirecutter.com, find the product category you want, and take their top pick. That's what I do on pretty much anything.
That's true. I think that's a good way to start.
That's a good way to start, but I don't necessarily always trust their judgment. Sometimes some stuff they recommend, it comes down to personal taste. And so something that they recommend may not be to your liking.
Might not be your style. Yeah, exactly. They do pick some stuff that's like ugly.
Like I recently, I'll be honest, I recently bought a wire cutter recommendation. It was an automatic pencil. And it was so highly reviewed. I was like, I'm going to buy that pencil.
An automatic pencil.
Yeah, yeah.
And one, what? And then two, wire cutters reviewing pencils?
Yes, they review everything now.
Yeah,
they have some strange categories. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I bought the pencil on Amazon. It arrived, and I was using it the other day. And you know, I'll be honest, I don't know if it's my favorite iMac pencil. I have another one here that I like a little bit more. And I was like, they didn't get this one. They didn't get this one right for me. But I also bought a shower head they recommended, and that one was pretty awesome. So it's kind of hit or miss. Good place to start, though. Okay, Leander, you haven't even gone yet. What's your pick?
Oh, okay. So it's a game. I don't know which one to recommend, the Apple TV one or the iPad one. It's Lumino City.
Lumino City.
And it's a really, really beautiful puzzle game.
Very heard of it.
Gentle, very low key.
Very gentle? That's important for a puzzle game.
Yeah. I hate Twitch games. Like, you know, I tried to play some battle game, you know, Call of Duty the other day or something and get killed like in a second.
I would have loved to have seen you try to do that.
It's like playing Flappy Bird, you know, like where you smash into the first post and it's already over. Mm-hmm. So, but this, you know, the what makes it beautiful is that they built an environment. It's Lumino City. It's like an abandoned city, and you have to explore it. And they built the whole city out of cardboard, this huge, huge set, and then filmed it. And this, it starts off as an animation, and then when you arrive at the city, suddenly it goes into this 3D, photographed. They photographed the actual 3D set that they built out of cardboard.
Oh wow, they have pictures of the set here. I'm looking at it right now.
It is really beautiful, and it's like that moment in The Wizard of Oz. You know, when Dorothy emerges from the house and into the land of Oz, and it's all in Technicolor. So it's an effect like that, and. The iPad, it's easier to control. It's sort of better, easier to play. You don't get thumb cramps, you know, playing it on an iPad.
Right.
But on a TV, you know, you have a really big, it's really jaw-dropping. And a couple of times I just involuntarily burst into a huge grin. Uh-huh. You know, when you turn a corner and there was this, you know, the new set was presented to you. Huh. I find it really delightful. And the puzzles are really fun and challenging. Yeah, I found it a really lovely game. The music's great too. I haven't got a clue. I think it's $3.99.
Okay, I'll find out. I'll put it in the notes. Yeah. Buster, how much was yours?
Operator is free.
Operator is free. How do they make their money though?
I'm sure they take like a processing fee or some type of service fee on your order.
Yeah. Okay. So when you order something, they make their money through the person you buy from. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Lumino City, I'm gonna check this out, Leander. This actually looks really cool. I'm looking at the Steam version of it right now, and they have pictures of the entire set and stuff. This is pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a nice video out there where they show how they built it.
On YouTube?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe I'll find that. Or maybe not. We'll see. My pick, as if you follow me on Twitter, as you may have surmised, is the Plex app for Apple TV. I love Plex. I've been a Plex user for years now. If you don't know what Plex is, it has two components. There is the Plex media software that you install on a PC or a Mac in your house. and then it digitizes your library and makes it available on your network to any device that has a Plex client, so an iPhone, an iPad, and it also makes it available outside your network. So if you leave your home and you want to stream movies from your media PC, you can do that very, very easily. And it's totally free. The Plex software that you install on the media server is free. And Plex makes their money in two ways. They charge you a premium fee per month if you want to use some of their more advanced features.
Streaming when you're away from home?
No, that's free. That's free. But if you want to, for instance, download the movies onto your device, if you're going to go on a plane or something. But the crazy thing about Plex is you put your media onto a computer, right? And it will automatically, on the fly, encode all the video so that's most appropriate for whatever device you're watching. So if you're watching on an iPad, it will look great. On an iPhone, the same. And they just released their Apple TV app. And the Apple TV Plex app is the most gorgeous Plex interface I have seen to date. First of all, it's free. And the UI is super slick. I mean, it's just gorgeous. It has that same effervescence Apple TV UI where it just kind of feels like it's glowing and very lightweight. And it's very easy to use. It's a no-brainer. If you've been using Plex, you've been waiting for this app. You just didn't know it. And they were never able to create an Apple TV app natively because there wasn't an app store. Now that there is, they got one out really fast. And I'm sure that they're going to be improving it a ton, too. This is just the V1 of the app. But if you haven't checked out Plex and you have a lot of movies, you know, that you have either on disc or they're in digital form, it's a no-brainer. You should absolutely have a Plex PC that you can use to stream your movies off your network. It's so handy, too. Like, you have your own personal Netflix server, essentially.
Can't believe you're still doing that. Why do you have a hoard of movies and stuff?
I mean, I have, like, friends. Like, they'll go to the Redbox. They'll rip all the DVDs and they have, like, I got 10 terabytes of movies on my Plex server. It's awesome. Really? And I'm just like, well, I just download it when I want it, you know?
Right.
On the fly.
Yeah,
never do such a thing. I just like having them always available. I like watching movies and I don't know. Like, let's say you're going to go somewhere. Let's say you wanted to download something. You never know what your bandwidth is going to be like. And everyone's Wi-Fi is different. And the nice thing about the Plex server is it will identify if your bandwidth isn't very robust, and it will automatically encode to a lower format, so that you can watch it on the fly. So there is no downloading. You just immediately get to watch it. So it's just a lot more convenient than having to try to download something.
You still would have had to download or rip that movie at one point to put it in Plex.
True.
Yeah, so essentially it's the same.
I mean,
you're just doing it preemptively.
Yes.
Before you travel.
And so if you're going to be traveling a lot, I think it's a lot more handy just to do it, you know, at your home before you leave. And also my connection at my house is I have a fiber connection now, which is awesome, especially if you're on Comcast and you may know they're rolling out data caps all across the United States so that they can enrich themselves further. Anyway, I digress. It's 1,000 gigabits up. Or 1 gigabit, so it's 1,000 megabits up and down. So it's really fast to do at my house.
The problem's at the other end, isn't it? You know, like you're in a hotel room in Utah and, you know.
Utah, jeez.
They're going to charge you to use the Wi-Fi, you know, $40 or whatever. Or you're going to burn out all the way through your data plan.
Right.
I mean, you're better off either like downloading it to your iPad or something like that and just having it sit there.
Well, that's why Plex has the ability to store it on your iPad or your iPhone. That was that fee that I was telling you about. That's what allows you to do.
Yeah, but you can do that with iTunes and Netflix. And can't you do it with Netflix? You can do it with
Amazon Netflix. Prime now. You can do it with Amazon save Prime. For offline.
Right, Amazon Prime.
Netflix has famously said they will never allow you to do that. I don't know why.
I think I read one person from Netflix saying like, oh, well, the users don't want it. So
what?
And I'm like, ridiculous. Oh, please. Are you kidding me?
It's gotta be, the, you know, their licenses.
Right. That's gotta be it. But Amazon was able to pull it off. That's a huge boon for Amazon to be able to let you store your videos and watch them later.
And Amazon's got a really great selection. And I think it's really pretty inexpensive, like $2 or $3 a pop to rent a movie.
Yeah,
and it can sit there for a month, and you don't have to. You know, it only runs out after you started watching it.
Plus, if you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, you get access to Prime Instant Video. I guess they just call it Amazon Video now. And you and their library is very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it competes like, with Netflix for sure.
It's got HBO stuff on there, so in some ways it's better than Netflix.
It's much better than Netflix. Netflix has got a whole bunch of old junk.
Yeah.
They do have a lot of weird junk on there, don't they?
Yeah. Every time I go looking for something, it's like some really bad.
Some
like
bad movie from the 60s.
Sharknado.
They do. They show a lot of really weird stuff, and I feel like they have it's like the sandwiches at Starbucks, right? Like they look nice and big and juicy.
Then
you bite into it and you realize they packed all the meat at the front of the sandwich and there's nothing actually in the bun. Well,
yeah, like a big lump, an ice cream scoop, right?
Exactly. It's just a bunch of bread at the end of the sandwich. That's what Netflix does. Like they show all their great shows up front and center. And then once you dig in, you're like, what the heck? Where is the rest of this stuff? There's nothing here. Yeah. There's like 10 good options on Netflix.
Well, that's a good stuff. You know what's coming up actually on Netflix, I hope, is that do you ever see The Return, that French zombie show?
No.
Oh, it's great. It's absolutely superb.
But it sounds like something you'd love.
Right. It's right up my alley. It's great. It's really creepy. It's really, really, it's really affecting.
What did you say it was called, Leander?
The Return.
The Return. Is it actually in French?
Yeah, subtitled.
Okay. A subtitled French zombie movie.
They tried to remake it here in the States, and it was a big bomb because it didn't have any of that sort of the same atmosphere. But I really recommend it. I think it's really great.
On Netflix now?
I'm not sure. I watched it with my daughter last year. We were staying up until 3 in the morning. You know, like,
wow. Okay,
let's just watch one more episode, okay? You know, and like we're sitting there with our eyes, propping our eyes open. But we burn through it. It's like, I think, nine shows in the first series. And I think the second series just got released. So I really recommend that. That's a great show.
Okay, so if you have Netflix, check that out. Okay, we got to vote, guys. Leander, whose sounds more useful and fun and good for traveling?
Well, actually, Busters.
Yes! I'm never going to use Operator.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. Okay, let me know what you buy.
I'm going to set up a test. I'm going to buy something for Tracy for Christmas.
I need you to get my wife a Christmas present. I want to tell you no information about her whatsoever. That's what you should do, Leander. Tell them no information whatsoever and see what they pick.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Typical Leander pick. Buster, what's your pick going to be?
I'm going to go with Leander's because I might download that game.
Yeah, I am too. You jerk. This game actually sounds really awesome, Leander. You win.
Like the creation of it, like creating a real physical world and filming it, that's just a super cool idea. I love that.
Here's the reality of these picks is there's probably going to be like 10 listeners who are really super into Plex. Who are going to think my pick is the obvious choice. But everyone else is going to feel like you guys. They're going to be like, why would you need that? That sounds like something you would use in 1995.
Right.
Exactly. So still useful for Plex users. But yeah, this game looks awesome. And I'm surprised I've never actually heard of it before.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's been doing pretty well. It's got a lot of attention.
Did it just come to iOS? It looks like it was out on PC in 2014.
Huh. I don't know, to be honest. I'm not sure.
Congratulations, Leander.
Ta-da!
Enjoy your ill-gotten game. Cheer. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there, guys. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Hey, happy birthday to Hunter Murr. He reached out to me on Twitter and said, would you please say happy birthday to me? I've been a longtime listener of the show, and I just think Buster is the sexiest. And I don't know which one of us doesn't think Buster is the sexiest. So happy birthday, Hunter. I want to thank Canary for sponsoring this episode. Go check out meetcanary.com. See the Canary in action, and remember to use code CULTCAST at checkout to get free overnight shipping. That's meetcanary.com. This has been the CULTCAST, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CULTCAST come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Buster, you take this one.
Next time.
Are you doing an Alex E. Heath impression?
Yeah. Sorry. See you later.
Fun. Good show, guys. Fun. Good show.
That was pretty accurate. Alrighty, guys. Well, I'm going to pack up and get in a car, and I'm going to be editing this show on my drive to Oregon.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Bend, Oregon.
Why?
I'm going to meet some friends down there and just party like it's 1999. Mm. Yeah. So I'll be sitting in the back seat.
Oh, yeah.
My dog will probably be in the front seat.
Loading it up.
Where she likes it, yeah.
Right,
where she feels like she belongs.
Pass me the pepper jack.
Yeah, hey, got any snacks in that bag? What did you bring for us? We might even let my dog drive. We'll see how it goes. We just let her hold the wheel. She can't reach the pedals.
Right. Okay, there you go. Well, she's got super sharp senses, so it's probably the same.
Yeah, she's got very good judgment, too, for a dog.
Except if she sees another dog, right? Yeah, right. I mean, if off the road.
Yeah, right. If she sees a cat run across the road, we're all dead.
And she fucking chases it. Yeah, does a 360, guns the engine.
And she's barking out the window as we're cruising on this wheat field going 70. She'll get the cat, though. That cat's not getting away.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. That sounds like a fun ride.